episode 103. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of BoolaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is Dallas, Texas, Friday, September the 30th, 2011. Texas Rangers have already been soundly defeated in Game 1 of the baseball playoffs. I don't keep up with baseball except this time of year. And, of course, here in Dallas, we kind of have to keep up with the Rangers. But I am recording on Friday night, so now we got the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers playing. I'm going to talk to you about coaching, helping, consulting, mentoring, advice giving. Goes by all those monikers. You likely have strong opinions about that. Many people do. So that's what we'll talk about here in episode 103. And we'll do that next. Okay, back to the yellow studio, where now I think I have all things in order. I keep telling you guys that I'm going to get back on my Thursday schedule. Well, if I don't do that, I'm at least going to try to get back on some kind of a schedule, so at least you know what day of the week you can expect to find these. Not that you care, but, well, I don't know. You might care. Hey, on my mind, and I've had this subject on my mind, I've just been waiting for the right time to do it, and boy, just like that, serendipity kicked, and I don't know how I came across it. I had seen it, or seen of it, being a blog that goes by the title Ending the Grind. And it is subtitled, One Man's Journey to Quit His Job, Succeed Online, and Live with Passion. Yes, there are admittedly a number of blogs like that. Let's just say it this way. I'm not the target market. But I'm sure that I came across it because this fellow, his name is Steve, he podcasts. And I am into podcasting. So I do listen to a lot of podcasts. I may not subscribe, but you know, I'll go check out a podcast. And his, episode 22, he had on a guest, and this is a guest that, I read her book, and I've been a fairly avid reader of her stuff, even though I'm not in her target market either. And that is Penelope Trunk. Brazen careerist may be how you better know her. I'm a fan of her writing. I'm a fan of kind of her up in your face style. She's blunt and to the point. And I'm often told, so am I. So she is a bit of a kindred spirit in that regard. I think her target market, they are definitely younger than me. But then again, who isn't? You know, that's what happens when you get older. But episode 22, I of course go over there because I kind of, no offense to Steve, but I kind of track her a little bit. She's a little bit more on my radar than he is or than a number of other people. Marcus Sheridan is the sales lion, and I have not met Marcus, but I would describe Marcus as an online friend, an acquaintance. I like his stuff. I like his story, and I'm a sales marketing guy. That's where my roots are. And Marcus is also an acquaintance or friend of Steve's. And so I guess by extension, I guess that would mean so am I, huh? At any rate, however it came to be, I came upon this podcast episode, and he is interviewing Penelope Trunk, and he's talking about, you know, how she got started and whatnot. And you can tell that the interview he intends to have is one of asking her, okay, well, you know, how did this work for you, and what can we learn, those of us that would aspire to have your life and be where you're at, assuming that she has, you know, all this great success, and in many ways she certainly does, but, you know, she'd probably be the first to tell you, yeah, nobody's got the perfect life. I mean, everybody's got, you know, we've all got crap in our life. It's just, welcome to the human race. I remember driving past the cemetery when my son was, I don't know, maybe in high school, and we were having a discussion about stress, and he was describing for me how what his goal was. He wanted to have a stress-free life. And as we drove around and there was a cemetery, and I pointed to it, and I said, well, there's where they are. Who? I said, well, there's where all the people are that don't have stress. They're dead. If you're on the top side of the planet and you got breath in your lungs, you're going to have stress. I mean, welcome to the world, you know. It's just, it's how things go. And in the background, by the way, you can probably hear, you know, I'm breaking every podcasting rule on the planet. Flat panel TV's going. The sound is on. There's a fan somewhere outside the door of the Yellow Studio. It's a nice studio. Now, Man, the weather's too nice. You know, windows open, doors are open, fans are blowing through the house. I mean, you do this in the spring, you know, it's like the spring airing out of a house. Okay, well, here in Texas, we do it in the fall, you know, when the day before, let's see, no, it was yesterday. Yesterday, we were 101. Today, it was 82. Yeah, cool front came through, so it's been great and terrific. So I'm not in the most, I'm not in the most acoustically friendly environment tonight, and you know what? I don't care. So back to Steve's podcast, number 22. And I'll put links in the show notes, by the way. So if you're listening in the gym, you can just go to BoodleNetwork.com and find episode 103, and I'll have notes about all this. So I'm listening to this interview, right? And the interview's, I don't know, it's 35 minutes or so. And I don't know, shortly into the thing, you can tell it just turns. And my immediate thought is this is turning into something really entertaining. But really what I was thinking is this is turning into something that is much more powerful than what Steve bargained for. Steve is thinking that he's going to interview Miss Trunk and he's going to find out, you know, these secrets to online wealth and getting a big readership. And because I can just tell by looking at the blog that's, you know, he's like so many other people. He's in this job, ending the grind. Evidently he's in some kind of a job. He hates this job. He's all over his site about hating this job. And I'm not criticizing. This is just the reality of it. He hates this job. He wants out of this job. And, you know, he and 10 million other people. And that's kind of the whole take on this, which is why I'm not, again, keep in mind, I am not in his target market. I do understand that there are a lot of people who might be. And at some point, he kind of is asking for career advice, and she gives it to him, double barrel full of it. And I'm sure there are people, in fact, there have been people that commented at his blog and probably had some issue with her. I did not. I just didn't. I felt like she was doing him a powerful service. Yes, she was frustrated. boy, don't I understand that frustration. You know, the frustration because she could see it so clearly. And during the interview, now I've not talked with Steve except through comments at his blog. I do intend, by the way, and let's throw it out there. Steve, I want to have you on. I want to talk with you. I want to find out, you know, okay, I want to let some time pass. You know, I mean, the guy needs time to compress and decompress and figure some things out. But I don't know when the interview was conducted, but he's had some time, a short period of time, to think about it. And I can promise you his perspective now, based on the comments that he's made, is very different than during the interview, because I think he's just feeling hammered. He's just feeling like she's just hammering me. You can tell that that's how he's feeling in the moment. But having had some time to think about it, I think he he says in his blog post that he called Marcus Sheridan, the sales line. He calls him on the phone. He sends him the interview, has Marcus listen to the interview, and he quotes what Marcus told him. And what Marcus told him is, he said, and this is what he quotes in his blog post, "I've listened to the recording and have put a lot of time thinking about how to respond to this, but I know you want me to be straight and real, so that's what I'll be, because I think you're a heck of a guy. Penelope is uncanny. She's direct, but she thin slices situations very well. To be honest, Steve, she's right. Her assessment is accurate. She kept drilling you for your goals, and she also picked up on the fact that your vision is very unclear. Dude, do yourself a favor and turn that interview into the turning point of your life. Take what she said, embrace it, chew on it, run with it, and be grateful she was willing to give it. We all need to be talked to like that at times, all of us. And if we're bothered by what others say, it's usually because there's something within us that knows there was merit in the message. I honestly did not disagree with anything she said." Now, he says that email that he got from Marcus, because he respects Marcus as a person and as an entrepreneur, he said that it was for him, it was an epiphany. And I jokingly say, but I mean it, I am just a man in search of an epiphany. Well, Steve had an epiphany thanks to Marcus giving him that feedback. Now, I'm not going to tell you that listening to the interview, you know, was all fun and frivolity. It wasn't as difficult for me. Maybe that's because of my age. And maybe it's because I see the value in what I would call confrontation. You know, we often think about confrontation as being, a negative thing. Well, no, not always. Not always. We confront people with situations that we know can be deadly, can be harmful. Maybe a family confronts another family member who is steeped in addiction. That confrontation can be life-saving. And the failure, the neglect at having that confrontation can be life-threatening. And so I rather embrace the power of a confrontation. And I don't mean a confrontation with the purpose of putting the other person down, belittling the other person, tearing the other person down, but a confrontation designed to help this person. And that's exactly what Penelope was doing. She was trying to help Steve come to some realizations about some things that she didn't, in her opinion, and I agree with her, and I think even now Steve would agree with her, she was right. He wasn't facing the reality of the situation. Well, it brings to mind this thing that I've had on my plate for a long time, and that is this whole subject of helping people, of coaching, consulting, mentoring, advising, call it anything you want, I don't care. And there have been some times where I've come under the gun because, you're a coach, huh? I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily give myself a title, and it doesn't matter. I mean, whatever it is, it is. Here's what I do, and I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just simply stating a fact. I help small businesses. And the way that I spend my time is working on other people's business. That's what I do. So if you ask me, well, hey, What do you do? Well, okay, I podcast and I speak and I write and I do a variety of things, but at the heart of them all, I'm working on somebody else's business. My business is working on somebody else's business. My business is trying to figure out, okay, where are the problems? Where's the constraint? What are the issues that we need to address? Where are the problems? What are the systems that we need to put in place? What's the workflow that we can improve? Is there such a horrible morale situation that there's something happening here in the culture? Is leadership oppressive? Is leadership autocratic? And I mean, it's a variety of different things, but it is the sum total of it is this. I'm working on somebody else's business. Period. That's my work. I don't go about it with the intent that I will forever be there. My goal and objective is to always be working myself out of a quote unquote job. I don't want to be the guy that has to be there from now on, you know, I mean, because that is a job. I want to be a guy who can come in, who can show people some things that maybe they didn't know before. Doesn't mean that I'm Oz. It just means that I've got some things in my toolkit that other people just don't have. It doesn't make me better than them. It makes me, in some cases, maybe a little bit more experienced. Maybe it's a skill set that I acquired that they just didn't. And so a big, big part of what I do is just trying to pass that information, that knowledge, those skills, to pass those on. And that's what I do. Period. Now, people can throw rocks at that all they want, but the long and short of this is we all, whether you're Steve over at Ending the Grind or whether you're Randy here in the Yellow Studio. Yes, I just did refer to myself in the third person. How odd is that? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are the biggest rock star on the planet. I don't care if you are the biggest social media star on the planet. I don't care if you are the greatest actor coming out of Hollywood. I don't care if you're the biggest news celebrity. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're the world's greatest CEO. You got problems, you got difficulties, and there's somebody, probably more than one, somebody who you kind of lean on to help you through the rough patches in your life. And so you can sit there and think, well, okay, Warren Buffett, I mean, is there anybody brighter than Warren Buffett when it comes to investing? Well, he's got a partner. He's got a partner, and I dare say Mr. Munger is probably a voice that Mr. Buffett listens to. Everybody has problems and everybody has difficulty. The other thing that has been on my mind, here's what it's like. It would be tantamount to us saying that in order to help somebody, you got to have all your ducks in a row. Your house has to be perfectly in order. There can be absolutely no chinks in your armor. And that's ludicrous because that person does not exist. It's tantamount to saying that a doctor who gets sick can't possibly be qualified to treat other sick people. I mean, don't you suppose doctors get sick too? And when they get sick, what do? Do you think they go to the doctor, or do you think that they just take care of themselves? Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I would dare say it's probably not real proper for a doctor to self-medicate, you know, write themselves a prescription. I'm sure there's probably some law against that. Not to mention how stupid that would be. No, they go to a doctor. They do the same thing that you do, the same thing that I do. Why? Well, they're sick. They need help. Oh, but, you know, look at how weak they must be. Come on, they're a doctor. They can't handle it themselves. No, they can't. Do you suppose a dentist goes to a dentist? Well, of course they do. Barbers go to barbers too. We understand that, it's common sense in so many things. But then when it comes to whether we're trying to help a business, whether it's somebody who's trying to help somebody with career advice, if it's somebody trying to help somebody with financial advice, you know, everybody wants to get their bag of rocks out and just start pelting somebody. I mean, take Dave Ramsey. Now, I am not in the target market for Dave Ramsey because I don't have a debt problem. It's not because I'm some, you know, financial giant. I haven't lived, my wife and I have not lived our life that way. We have not lived our lives on credit cards. We've been blessed and fortunate, and my income has been such that, you know, we haven't had to or felt like we had to, and B, we've not lived above our means, period. Now, I can listen to Dave Ramsey and I can think, well, Dave, come on, you idiot. I mean, this is all just common sense. Well, it might be to me, but to millions of other people, it evidently is not. And he's helping tens of thousands, if not millions of people. Hooray for him. I'm not going to throw rocks at him. It's worthwhile work. He's clearly filling a need. Just because I don't need it doesn't mean that it's not a need that needs to be filled by him or somebody. And he's not the only cat in town doing that kind of stuff. But he's one of the bigger name people who helps people get out of debt, fight debt, stop living on credit cards. So I can look at my life and think, well, I don't need that. So those of you that do, how stupid are you? Well, no. I mean, that's a pompous, arrogant attitude. And yeah, that's exactly the attitude that an awful lot of people have when it comes to this whole thing about helping other people. Penelope Trunk went out of her way to not be hateful, but to try to help a guy who was wanting to have an interview with her. And I'm sure he intended the interview to be something about this whole online internet lifestyle. And if you've read Ms. Trunk at all, you know that she has some disdain for much of this whole dreamy, starry-eyed lifestyle design BS. And yeah, she let fly. She absolutely let fly. But you know, those of us in the helping business, as our friends across the pond in the UK call it, and I've always loved that. I ran across that, I don't know, years and years and years ago. The helping business, the helping industries, because that really is what it is. I mean, we're helping people. We're trying to help people. And I'm not talking about this mamby-pamby, get on Twitter and the first tweet of the day every day is, who can I help today? Yeah, I won't name names, but it's a social media rock star. And there's more than one that does that. Who can I help today? Well, why don't you reach out and try to see if you can get them to help you? Good luck. No, I haven't tried, but I know people who have. It's just disingenuous, you know. It's just, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm not one of these, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And don't even get me going on this whole competitive thing. I don't happen to think it's a sin to be competitive. I don't think it's a crime. I don't think it's against all decorum for us to view people as being our competitors. Phooey on that. I agree with Ms. Trump. You've got to decide how you want to spend your days, how you want to spend your hours. And I don't know. I can't answer for Steve over at Ending the Grind or anybody else. I know for me what's important, faith is first and foremost, and I'm married to the same woman for going on 34 years now, 2 grown kids. They're happily married. So I've got these 4 young adults in my life between my son and my daughter and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law, 2 grandsons, 1 granddaughter. Life's good. Life's good. Is everything just peachy keen? No. No, I'm just like you. Here we are at the end of September. Well, we have October coming up, and there's so many of us that are in small business. Well, okay, what's October going to look like for us financially? I don't know about you, but I'm not dead solid certain. You know, because what I do is terribly performance-based. I mean, if I don't work, I don't eat. It's pretty simple. You know, so there have been times where, you know, we just kind of had to do what we had to do, and other times where, you know, you have a, don't you love this word, where you have a robust month. Robust. I can't, it's just, I laugh every time I hear that word. I don't know why. You hear it applied to software, and you hear it applied to, I don't know, you hear it applied to technology, you know, robust feature set, and I'm hoping I have a robust October. I don't know about you, but I hope you do too. I really do. And I also hope that you have people in your life that help you. I hope you have people in your life who are willing to confront. I hope you have people in your life that are willing to tell you how it really is, because they care enough to spend the time. I was rather pleased that Steve got far more than he bargained for. And as the comment that I put at his blog, you know, I hope the influx of traffic that you certainly get, I hope that doesn't distract you from the core message of what Ms. Trump told you, because I think what she told him was far more valuable than another 1,000 readers. Frankly, more valuable than another 10,000 readers. Traffic comes and goes, but you know, wisdom. If you can have someone share wisdom with you, and you can latch on to that, and you can make something of that, then that's, well, it's just pretty priceless. It's pretty priceless. I'll try to get Steve on at some point and talk about how this is affected. I'm going to let some time go by because I'm going to be more curious about it 30 days from now than I am right now. I'm curious right now, but I'm going to be more curious 30 days from now, maybe 60 days from now. So I'll see if I can't make that happen. I need to have Marcus on too. We need to pick his brain some. He's a good guy. You should follow him, thesaleslion.com. Steve's website is endingthegrind.com. And I'll put links in the show notes. So if you don't remember that, don't worry about it. I don't know. That's it. What can I say? I'm pretty much, I don't know about you, but it's pushing 9 o'clock on a Friday here in the big town of Dallas. And I'm pretty whipped. I'm just pretty whipped. Kind of whipped in a good way and kind of whipped in a bad way. But this is how I spent my Friday night, talking to you. I'm glad that you clicked play. I'm glad that you visited the website. I am mindful of your time. I am mindful of your attention. I know those are two of the most precious things that you've got because, well, you can't generate anymore. So I would encourage you to reach out. Touch me. You can send me email to results@bulanetwork.com. Results. That's what I'm after. You can send us, you can give us some voicemail feedback. 214-736-4406. That is area code 214-736-4406. I got nothing to sell. I need something to sell, right? You know, this has never been about monetizing, as they say. It just hasn't. This has been just kind of a work in progress for me. I enjoy doing it, and I hope you gain something of value out of it. I'd like to hear from you. If you've got horrible things to say, lots of negative feedback, you can give me that too. I'm thick-skinned. I can handle it. The website is bulanetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.